Когда Бог дает
when
делу,
God
это
gives a
жизнь,
ceremony, it's life, and someone has to deliver it or set it free. Every service is very important, and the ministry that I do, I know it's needed. Why? Because when you do what God puts you to do, you set free life into the people that they resurrect, they come back to life when you start ministering to your people. The sermon for today is, I called it like this, accepted by your people. You know, quite often I'm asked this question. People that wonder how we got out into a field, how people found out about us, why in a strange way, in a short amount of time, we became known basically throughout the whole Russian-speaking world. And the interesting thing is, they ask this question, it's quite interesting. They say, we want to find out how you got out into ministry, who anointed you. Nobody did. Nobody advertised you, raised you up. You were never on any big conferences, and none of the big authoritative pastors advertised you. And the people sometimes get these questions. How can you go on to a global ministry where not only your church is being fed? Globally, it just means behind the church walls where people eat what God gives you. And the strange thing is people think that for ministries, somebody has to anoint you from people or bless you. And these are smart people and they ask right questions. Today, I want to talk to you about what is it to be accepted by your people. You know, it's quite easy for me to answer this question. I minister to my people. I minister the body of Christ. I don't need to buy popularity from someone, just have friendships with someone so they could speak nicely about me in higher circles. I really do not care about that, and I still don't care. The most important thing is I want to talk about the center. What is it to get out into ministry? Where does this thing come from that people listen to and they're drawn to, and something changes in their life? You know, it's not something that you work on or you study in school. It's not, you can't buy it for money or somebody advertised you on the stage. You know, sometimes for a horrible product to go and be sold, you know, a movie star has to appear in a commercial. And as soon as a movie star holds this product in their hand, whatever it is, drink, shampoo, whatnot, everybody starts buying it. And that's horribly bad product. You start using it and you wonder, how did it even make it to the shelves of the store? Apparently somebody advertised it. And there's another product that nobody advertises, but people say, take it. It's awesome. And everybody buys it. You know what I'm saying? There are products that are advertised by the stars, and then there's a product that is called by its people. And today, my dear ones, I want to talk to you about a Christian that is going in the ministry. There's two ways, two roads. Either all his life, try to make himself known in front of the elite and try to, you know, please them, do what they tell you to do, quiet when they tell you stay quiet, and do what they tell you to do. Or you have the other way, which is for them to say, thank you. That's still the first one. They take you to their conference and they say, oh, this is a great anointed person. The second way is what you do, what Jesus did. Who did Jesus minister to? Church. Who did he give his life to? All his life. Who did he have arguments with? You understand? And today I want to talk to you about what is it? A dangerous personality. A dangerous person. It is he who in God, achieved authority and power, and that comes from acceptance of his people. You know why Jesus became the most dangerous person in that time for elite people? You know, the Romans feared him. They, people that were up high in the ranking, they wanted to meet him. You know why? You know that Jesus had such authority throughout people
что-то сделать, когда народ был рядом.
People, the ones that wanted to cause him harm, they were afraid to cause harm to him while he was around people. Nobody tried to take a rock and throw it into him. Why? Because Jesus touched the hearts of his people. And him, by ministering to his generation, not just by showing on in front of anybody, like elite and Pharisees, you see how God starts raising him, and you see what happens with ministries of those people that God raises up. Do you know that the devil works the same way? I'm going to tell you seriously. We know tyrants of this world. We know Hitler, we know Lenin, and so on and so forth. What happened, sometimes when I had time, I used to read biography of Hitler, how he came to power. Everything was so nicely done and professionally. Basically, what he did, he conquered the hearts of his people. All the Germans, they were ready to go and die, you know, for him, for this tyrant. But then, after these things, he started, you know, pushing his own agenda. And you know, on presidential elections, the one who is the winner is the one that won the hearts of people. You understand what I'm saying today, my dear ones? No matter who you are, anointed, called, oiled up, no matter who pushes you through, or, you know, at the end, authority is in hands of those that is accepted by the people. You know who's being attacked and destroyed and gossiping against and being cursed? It's those that have achieved authority and power and acceptance of their generation. And my dear ones, you know, when if you ever dream about going into ministry, you don't need anybody's fertilizer. All you need is somebody's is the acceptance of your people. You need to start ministering to those that are around you. You need to do what Jesus did and what his disciples did. And today, we will look through lives of three people. Jesus, David, Mother Teresa. Oh, we'll stop on her. You know, when God yesterday was talking to me about this woman, and I had material on the internet all over the place, I was reading about her life. I was crying. I was literally bawling. I was crying, and I said, Lord, let me cry myself out at home so I wouldn't do this at church because I have to speak a sermon. God touched my heart so powerfully through the life of this woman. I was amazed how this small person that does not have anything achieved such popularity and acceptance in all languages. Her books are interpreted, her prayers. There's thousands and thousands of followers of Mother Teresa. They do what she did. And today we'll touch a couple of things from her life. What is it?
Just
to be accepted by your people. I'm telling you seriously, you know that Jesus was not dangerous when he was healing. You know when he became dangerous? When all the people accepted him. And Pharisees understood that if we don't get rid of him on time, the things will turn the other way. Let's read this scripture. Right after this phrase, Pharisees, phrase of Pharisees, they were looking for Jesus to get rid of him, to kill him. They found Judah, and Judah did his thing, and we know the story, how it ends. John, chapter 12, verse 19. Look, the Pharisees therefore said to one another, you see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. The key to success is not written books, it's not colleges. The key to success is acceptance of the people that you're moving through. The interesting thing is masses and thousands of people followed Jesus. He became dangerous after he was accepted by people. And a lot of people did not understand this secret. You know, Mother Teresa understood that. David understood it. Jesus lived in it. Disciples done it. If we want to achieve something big, it does not mean that you're going to have a mega church. Mother Teresa had the dying people, you know, know, corpses that she pulled out of dumpsters. That was her church. You know, her ministry achieved to the ends of the world, all big major countries of the world. There's houses of love. And we will touch that a little bit too today. And just by looking at the life of Jesus, he became dangerous, church. He became dangerous right after the hearts of people attached to Jesus. I tell you, if you want to have success and blessing, you have to start seeing the need that is around you. You have to start seeing destruction, curse, and pain all around you. You have to start to speak to that pain. You have to start to speak to that destruction. You have to hug and love and kiss and give love. You have to learn to be that person that gives. In Christianity, it's quite hard. Quite often, people come, they don't wish to help you save people. They wish cheap gain, to be popular, to be close to somebody who is known everywhere, and then you find out what kind of jackal was in your team right after you saw how embarrassing this betrayal was. And you know, there was no love towards God there. There was just want for this gain, and there was nothing. And later on, it opens up, and you see what happens. And I'm amazed how in Christianity such things can be hidden. This unclean people of career that try to make their way, and that in their heads they don't even have desire for this nation, of this generation. All they have is one moving desire, is to be popular, so people would know me, to do conferences, to take pictures, for people to take pictures with you, for your things to be typed up and spread out, for people to talk to about you. And you know, that's embarrassing. Now, how low is that? How cheap is that? You have to learn to minister to your people. You have to learn, if you want, you all around you, there is plenty of things to do. People come up to me and say, Pastor, bless me for ministry. Tell me, what am I to do? And I tell you, your ministry is all around you. There's plenty of it. There's need that is around you. This is your ministry. From this is where it all starts. From that, God will see if you will move further. God will see what caliber are you, and can you help at least one? Some come and say, Pastor, can I preach? I ask, why? You want to help people? And he says, yeah. I tell him, you can do that without podium also. You know that 99% of people that come here and call me and want to preach, I send them back. I guarantee you. I'm a witness to that. Can I preach here? No. No, because you're not going to give to church that what I can give them. I don't need some people here that will come and sell their CDs. I want you to get up and go from here, and in your heart to have love to the dying world. I don't need this cheap career chasing. Pastor, can I sing here? No, you cannot. Go sing outside. If somebody will repent, continue singing, and around you thousands will gather. Somebody understand me? What can you give to your people? Go like I did it. Go outside and start with one person. Invest everything into that soul, and then he will tell somebody else, invest your life into him, and then they'll learn how to invest into others. And that way, you will see what it does it mean, popularity from the Holy Ghost and not from cheap friendships with some pastors. You hear me? What does it mean to go? My way is not easy, it's long. And I was going to my first ministry for 12 years, and I know what he gives, nobody can take away. The one that blessed me, he can curse me. I mean people here. The ones that raised me up, they can put me down. But when God raised you up, no one is able to destroy you. You know why? In 4 years, I was thinking, in 4 years, you could just talk about everything. You can gossip about everything. Gossipers should just run out of gossips to speak and to say. It's supposed to end somewhere. In 4 years, it does not end. I don't get it. Why? Apparently, Because someone touched the hearts of people. Someone touched something. And some people don't understand. Pastor touched the heads of people. I really don't care about your head because your head thinks this today, tomorrow thinks something else. I care about your heart. I care about your spirit. And if this thing gets in there, you change. Yeah, church, this is where power is. You touch the heart. And if Holy Spirit touches the heart through your ministry, a person cannot not change. Either he wants it or not, he changes. Because the Holy Ghost does it this way. It is his way. You know that David, he didn't need acceptance of Saul to be he became. We look at this embarrassment called Saul. Remember, he did what God told him not to do, and he wasn't obedient. And then when Samuel the prophet said, God left you, he grabbed by his lapels and said, and he told him, you know what, God is taking this away from you. He took another person. He really did not care that Saul did not care that God took the kingdom away. He said, you know what, just go before the elders and just be at the prayer with me in front of the elders and speak nicely about me. And you see how things are done wrong. There's no heart. Saul was walking on heads. He needed buddy-buddy with prophets, with these people. And then you see how negatively that turned out in his life. When this person came, David, I'm amazed. He did not need for Saul to talk nice about him. All he did was conquer one time the hearts of his people. And then afterwards, it is written that people loved David. And now, some people tell me, you know, David became dangerous to Saul when he conquered Goliath. No. Saul loved him, and he didn't even send him back home after he got rid of Goliath. Let's read it. 1 Samuel 18:2. 18:2. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. He conquered and he told him to be with him. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out whatever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war. Saul loved him. He had nothing against David. Sent him over the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people. And from this moment, David became the most dangerous personality. People accepted him. You know why we, maybe some of you that sit here, you become dangerous. You know why nobody accepts you into your old church? When you get there, they tell you, why are you here? To steal the sheep? And you understand that. Why are they attacking you? Why? They say your name and last name in front of everyone from podium. Why? You become dangerous. People start to listen to you. And inside their hearts, something starts to happen. Amen? We're not fighting people here. That's cheap. We're fighting. We're not fighting, but we're putting foundation in, and we believe that we will see a great, great harvest. Amen. Oh, church, we just started working.
И это понравилось всему народу и слугам.
And it was pleasing in the sight of all people and also in sight of Saul's servants. And it happened as they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistines. Oh, they were singing a song. Listen. The return from killing the Philistines. The women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Please tell me, who rose David up? Whose opinion counted in the kingdom more than Saul's? People's. And when we understand these things, when Holy Spirit opened many, many years ago, when I was in the middle of this, where to go, what to do, I came out in front of podium and pastor told me, and he said, if you're going to say like this one more time, this will be the last sermon in this church. I said, you know what? Then it will be the last. You hear me? I had a choice, either change my sermon that changes the whole picture, and I'm not going to be me anymore, I will be a religious firecracker, and I'm not going to achieve what God put inside of me to do. I will just be simply be obedient to someone who doesn't have nothing in common or not even imagination of what is the Spirit of God and His truth. And this mindless person controls my whole destiny and my anointing. Please tell me, what am I to do? Last, then it's the last one. And the Holy Ghost told me, you work and touch the hearts of your people, and not the hearts of those dumb rulers, that in any time they can put out the fire of God, because it's not, they don't like it, and they need to change. Oh, church, the ones that have been accepted by the people, it is the most dangerous person on this earth. Jesus could not even be killed in front of people. Everyone feared him. They would ask him parables in front of everyone. He'd tell Pharisees who they really were. He'd say such phrases and such things. They were shocked. He had his own ceremony back then. And it's written, they wanted to kill him, but they couldn't. Because why, church? Because they feared who, church? People at the top that think that they decide, they don't decide anything. Church, you decide everything. You vote what is going to live, what is going to die. Their problem is to keep your mind captive. This is why you cannot read powerful books, listen to powerful sermons and preaching, because that will set your mind and spirit free, and you'll start thinking for yourself, and you will become dangerous. This is why the system, there's a system of slavery there. You have no right even to say a single word. And the dangerous thing is when reformation comes and you are set free, you cannot be controlled anymore. You have your opinion. You don't care about this cheap, cutting off from the church, because nobody even cares about that anymore. Oh, what a way to scare a person. Okay. You can't get cheaper than that. I serve God and not some sort of Uncle Vasa. Amen. I walk before Him and do His will, and I do not follow, and do what you say. Your ministry is in serving your people. You hear me? Oh, there's always somebody that will come up to you, and they'll try to align you their way, align your speech, the volume of your speaking, the way you look, align how your face looks, align your whole life. By aligning you, they make you look like they, and then they took all your weapons and they paralyzed you, and now God has to select somebody else. For someone to start speaking the truth. For someone to start screaming into the hearts of people, because it's pointless to knock up there, into the elites. And this is why we're dangerous, you know why? The world of technology is quite unique. Are you all with me here? If you don't have TV, there's radio.
Теперь радио уже нельзя.
Radio, you cannot,
и они не знают, компьютер отнести к дьяволу или к Богу.
And what do we do with computer? Is it of the world or is it of the devil? TV is from the devil. Radio, not always.
А вот компьютер, мы не знаем.
Computer, we're not sure. The interesting thing is,
мы позалазили везде.
We're everywhere.
И тебя уже невозможно контролировать.
And you cannot be controlled anymore. Turn the TV away, you got the radio. Radio is off, you got the computer. Computer, then somebody's going to give you a CD, and you still got it. You hear me? The world of technology is a very unique world, isn't it? So, church, and we start to move. And I am amazed myself. I'm not walking around different churches, and listen to me, such a great revelation. If this is a great revelation, they'll copy themselves and pass it around to everyone. Your thing is to serve your people. Your thing is to receive the word from God. Either somebody likes it or not, God likes it, because it transforms lives. Amen?
Конечно, тебя будут
ненавидеть. Of course you're going to be hated. You know why?
Потому что тебя невозможно контролировать.
Because you cannot be controlled. Hello, church. You have to receive this revelation. A person that is uncontrollable, he's the most dangerous in church. Imagine, you can speak to everyone, you know, 4 years, you cannot talk to me. I just not give up. You can give me chocolate and money and wanted me to anoint into their brotherhood, you know, and bless me. And shut my mouth like that? No, I don't take it.
Нас мало, но мы в тельняшках.
There's not a lot of us, but we got suspenders on.
И мы еще посмотрим
and we will see
до конца нашей жизни,
till the end of
кто
our life,
станет популярным.
Who
Amen,
will be popular. Amen, church?
Мы еще посмотрим, кого Бог награждает
God
за верность. Мы еще посмотрим, что значит настоящее помазание от Бога. Мы еще посмотрим. Знаете, почему мне нравится
служить Богу? You know why I like to serve God?
Потому что ты всегда ходишь по краю обрыва.
Because you're always walking at the edge of a of a hill.
You
will, either you'll be the dumbest person or you'll be number one winner. You know, David had two chances. Either right now he'll be the dumbest and funniest guy with a stick
that
Goliath is going to destroy. He said, am I a dog? Of course, he was a dog.
Вами,
and we understand.
Или он сейчас станет самым великим человеком. О, дорогие мои, служить Богу прекрасно.
Oh, my dear ones,
вот что
so
называется
awesome
вера.
This is what
а вера без дел
faith without work is dead.
Ты ходишь по краю
you
пропасти.
Walk at the edge,
ты говоришь темы, которые
say sermons
удивают,
that either
других воскрешают.
Some are getting killed
что
by them and others are being resurrected by them. What is that? It is a unique
Господу
opportunity
Amen.
To serve our God.
Я благодарен Богу.
And I'm thankful to God for my ministry. Each and every one of us, you know, each and every one of you can take this position. The key to this ministry is called truth. You know the truth. Well, speak it.
Speak
the truth.
Do not stay quiet.
Let nobody buy you. Church right now is a dead crowd of people and we need to resurrect it. That's it. Truth is quite simple. Speak it. If somebody goes against it, open the word of God. They will expel demons.
If
do you expel demons? No, then you're a dead church. The sick are getting healed? No, then you're a dead church. And you don't need to buy me. It's quite simple. Open the Bible. Lesson number one. Speak the truth. And when they tell us lies, you speak the truth again. And when they try to shut your mouth, you buy a microphone and you scream the truth. And don't worry about your popularity. You'll be quite popular. I guarantee it.
Мы хотим все с любовью делать.
We want to do everything with love.
Ты вообще знаешь, что такое любовь?
You know what love is?
Ты вообще знаешь,
you know
что есть совершенная любовь?
Complete love.
Скажи мне, ты своего ребенка любишь?
Tell me, you love your child?
О, да. А почему
course,
у него задница синяя?
Why is his behind blue?
Почему он в углу
why
стоит?
Is
ты
he in the naughty corner? You love him.
Ну, я хочу, чтобы он хорошим вырос.
Well, I want him to grow up to be good. Amen. You just answered your own question. And I want the church to grow up to be good. That is why sometimes you need to do a little spanky.
Хорошо, дальше.
Periodically.
Я
I
удивляюсь.
I'm amazed.
Этой женщине,
why this woman,
которую звали Мать Тереза,
that was called Mother Teresa.
Я удивляюсь, как она собралась в сердца людей. Знаете ли вы,
do
что эта женщина имела вход в самое дно общества, на свалки и помойки, где она собирала выброшенных детей, которые матерям не нужны были. Знаете ли вы, церковь, что она была на приеме практически у всех
practically she met all the presidents of this world and all the kings and queens of this world. You know, church, that when she was receiving donations of millions and millions of money, dollars, she was wondering, should she accept it or not? And some of it she would not take it because some people donated out of wrong motives. And when I look at the life of this woman that never had a car, but she was constantly given cars right and left, she never had a house, but she was given constantly houses and properties and money, she would all give it back. Can we serve the people?
Я хочу стать служителем. Служителем хочешь стать?
You want to be a minister? You don't start it with a podium. You start over there. There's a need. Somebody's sick over there.
Ты говоришь, я хочу, чтобы люди исцелялись. У нее не было ни разу исцеления. Она просто трупов отмывала, говорила об Иисусе, обнимала и
talk about Jesus, give them hugs, and they would just die in her arms.
Она молилась за исцеление, she prayed for healing, and nobody would get healed because
she had a gift of not healing, but to give love to those that are dying. What is it? Ministry. Is everyone supposed to walk around in supernatural things? We look at this Catholic woman, small, petite woman, that years by years she would stand and ask for Catholic community to ask for permission to open the house of love. You know, they don't consider women much in Catholic Church of women, and charismatic people and people of different denominations would say, this is something not so anointed. We need anointed. They say hallelujah. And we fall down. And I'm in the spirit, I will pray, and you're all just gonna fall. I'm already laying. Go away.
You look at all of this, at this
God only knows what crowd, quote-unquote Christianity, just sitting there waiting for somebody to anoint them with oil. And around you there is death, and your ministry is all around you, with the neighborhood, at the bus stop with your relatives. What do they need? They need love. Your ministry is serve people.
Oh,
I see visions. You know what? Turn off the TV.
Пойди помоги кому-то.
Go help someone.
Выключи телек.
Turn off the TV. And that's it. Do not watch that.
Пойди, вон умирает.
Go right there. Somebody's dying. Let's not see things. I see how our generation is lacking salvation, and I cannot do all of this by myself. I need someone that will understand, that will take it, they will accept it and go.
Нужен кто-то, кто выйдет из своего комфорта.
Someone that will leave their comfort zone. Let's read a couple of little pieces from her life. She has a great biography, quite colorful. This woman, she's worthy of sitting with kings and queens and presidents. She denied all of that to help someone else. Let's read. Mother Teresa,
дама с огромным чистым сердцем,
осененная любовью Бога и несущая ее в самые темные и самые грязные уголки. Сколько детей, обреченных на самое страшное нищенское существование, нашли хлеб, кровь и самое главное, любовь, благодаря ей. Сколько нищих, бездомных, больных, гниющих в канавах приняли извинения от мисс Фрисса, были отмыты и самое главное, почувствовали любовь from her and care, and they received God in their heart, the hearts of those that are sick with AIDS, drug addicts, alcoholics, that were, they've seen her love, and they received total transformation. How many people that were hungry for love that received it right before they would die, and they left this world happy, like they've never been happy ever in their life. She was able to feed at one time 6,000 people and not sleep many days in a row, always smile. Mother Teresa had doors open to her, doors with regular homes and doors of palaces. She was accepted by presidents, kings and queens, and popes, and she did not care. She still continued doing the most simplest of work and doing it with great love. She was speaking to kings and the poor one, people. She talked in front of multitudes, and she never wrote down any of her sermons. All she had to do was simply pray to know what to say, church. Why What are we chasing? Maybe all of us need to relook our Christianity. Maybe all of us need to see, what if we're lost? And the important thing is, in front of us, in the face of this woman that was a little hunchback, many, many years she was quite old to see a great warrior of faith. When I was reading books of the anointed people, and after her death, I finally got to her books, I was shocked how much information and I got out of her prayers and her testimonies. She didn't even know what is it to have supernatural anointing, falling in the Spirit, and so on and so forth. You understand me? We became so smart, so anointed, we forgot the most important thing is to serve your own people. We walk on everybody's head, trying to achieve exception and anointing, TV screens, popularity, and certain things to be seen and to see. And we forget that our ministry, that most important ministry, is that the dying generation all around us in this, you know, stretch away, and we can touch him. We can touch this woman, and we can help this family that is falling apart. And here's me. I could just say, God loves you. Can I come and just be with you? All I can give you, I can't give you anything except love of Jesus Christ. That's all I could do, is say how much he loves you and how much he loves me. Where does the ministry start? Ministry starts from you dedicating yourself to your people. You start to answer their questions. Their questions that the elite cannot answer. You start going where nobody wants to go, and this is considered something horrible. How can you be around those that are sick with AIDS, drug addicts? How can you wash and kiss everyone who's sick? How? How can you be around sickness all your life and not get sick? How can you just dig out of trash children that mothers threw out and bring them into your house of love and wash them and bring them up? Love everyone. Bless everyone. And she said, one time she was asked this question, how can you do this with these people? She said, I'm not doing this with people. I do it to Christ that lives inside of them. She said, I do not see a drug addict. I do not see a prostitute, somebody who's sick and somebody who's crippled. I see Jesus that is reaching out to me, and he needs something. Those that help those that lack something and need something. Jesus said that you do it for me. The one that gave bread to the dying one, that's the same thing as giving it to Jesus. And she said, I see Jesus in all of you. That is why I want to help you and stretch out my hand to you. Let's look on, read on how her ministry started. For 16 years, Mother Teresa, she was teaching in a girls' Catholic school. She was, she became a principal of one of the schools, and all of a sudden, she said, I was riding in the train from Calcutta to Darjeeling. Mother Teresa writes, September 10th, 1946, and I was peacefully praying when all of a sudden I felt inside, and I felt another calling inside whatever I was already doing. This news was just not a double news to me. It was just something I was so sure that I have to dedicate my whole life to the poor and be left around them. It was an order. She got this order to take out people out of trash. And you say, you don't know, people come up to me and they say, I don't know what to start. I tell you right now what to start. If you can't do this, I don't even know what you can do. What do I need to do? You need to see a need. Pray to see needs, to see decaying sick people. I understand there's not a lot of them here. Let's start with our surroundings. There's plenty of pain and rejection all around. There's plenty of that. And she says, I heal myself when I give healing to others. I receive great love when I give love to others. She learned to live
Незадолго до этого мать Тереза стала свидетелем.
Not long before this, she became a witness to something horrible that was in Calcutta. She saw this woman that was paralyzed, decaying woman. I don't know what kind of sickness it was. Her son just left her by the doors of the hospital. Mother Teresa tried to take her, admit her into the hospital, and they wouldn't accept this woman. She tried to help her, and she wasn't able to bring and touch this woman, or even, you know, stand the smell of this woman. She went and prayed to God and said, give me a heart full of compassion so I could accept Christ and touch Christ and see Christ in this woman's decaying body. She came back and she touched the woman. She cleansed her. This woman died with a smile upon her face. And for me, that was a sign that the love of Christ and love towards Christ is more powerful than my weaknesses. Years after, one of the journalists that was following her, Mother Teresa, around, he was saw, he said this, I would never do this even for $1 million. She said, for $1 million, I would never do this either. I only do it for free because of love towards Jesus Christ. My dear ones, everything, no matter where we'd go or what things we would achieve, we have to understand one thing. The important thing, this is what I'm talking about. The important thing is love and ministry towards people, to be accepted by your people. This is what Jesus did. He would not go past pain. No matter where he would be, what he would do, he'd always start to minister to people. You don't need to move ahead and just start ministering to people, and you will see what glory will start to follow you. You will see how what sermons God will put in your heart, because God knows that you will tell it to people. People are amazed and they wonder, how come I cannot write this book? Because you do not have heart. When your heart will be in pain for these people, you're not even going to write books. Books will be written about you. And there's hundreds of books that are written about Mother Teresa right now. And we're amazed by these people. We are amazed and we watch these people like Martin Luther King. And remember, the African American, he's done plenty of things for African Americans here in the United States and slavery. He was ministering towards to his people. 95% of African American churches accepted him as somebody who's not in his right mind. Can you just imagine, his own people said, you're not in your right mind, you cannot conquer slavery. And he said,
I have a dream.
You hear me? He said, I have a dream. My dear ones, I want to ask you this question. Do you have a dream? You know, I will accept it, even if I will not see, but at least after my death, I want to see, I want to hear about the glory of God. I want to see the real church, ministers to her people. I want to see. I don't know why. I just do. Look.
In 1953,
by filling heavens with their prayers, the sisters were able to buy the first house where it was their main hub for their ministry. On the same street, the sisters opened an orphanage for kids, unwanted and undesired kids. I was shocked when I saw. What did she do? They were given the smelly, without lights building. And she loved people so much, loved kids so much. And you know, in India, there's rules like that. If women did not want children, they would throw them away into trash. And Mother Teresa found lots of infants, you know, still cords attached. They were in death, and the flies would be all around, and they were in gutters and were not in the trash. And when they were able to open this smelly house, orphanage, without lights, there was nothing, no doors, no windows. First thing that she did, she put this plaque on the door, and listen to what was written on there. I want to accept any child, any time, day or night, just tell me, I will go and get him. Church, please tell me, what can be more than this? You know, I'm amazed. And she said, She was said, people talked to her, you wouldn't accept everyone. She said, I'll accept everyone. People would just say, you're crazy, you're an old woman. She said, don't throw your babies away, just bring them to me. That's it. They said, you have no food. She said, God will give me food. He'll feed everyone. And after her death, my dear ones, there was over 170 houses of love all over the world, great big houses where she deposited her life into, 170 houses of love that were not open churches, houses of love where they would bring the dying, all the smelly, decaying people. She'd wash them, give them hugs, and they would die in her arms with a smile on their face, knowing that Jesus accepts them also. What does it mean to be accepted by your people? It's to minister to your generation. You hear me, church? I want this to touch you. It touched me quite powerfully. I was sitting yesterday, I was crying. I was asking the Holy Ghost, please let me cry myself out. In the first service, I couldn't handle myself. Second, I believe I can handle it. And I was sitting and saying, God, I was reading and I was crying. Everybody was sleeping, and I was just sitting there crying. I said, Lord, please, please, let us learn how to serve our people. Let us touch the hearts of those that are homeless, that have been made ugly by the religion, that are dying, spending their whole life and not finding out what is alive God and what is alive church. Who will give love except us? Who will go if not us? Mother Teresa writes, one time I picked up this person. He was in a ditch. His body was covered by worms and maggots. And I dragged him into one of our hospitals. And what do you think? What did he say? He didn't curse or swear. He just said, I lived like an animal outside, but I will die like an angel, like a person that was loved. She said, first time in the life of this dying corpse, he was hugged. 3 days, they took 3 days to wash him. And I'm amazed. And look what she writes. Then he rose his eyes towards this sister and she said, Sister, I'm going back home to God. And soon afterwards he died. I've never seen such a shiny smile as on the face of this person. He went back home for real. You see what can love do. It's quite hard for people when they feel unloved, forgotten, sick, and rejected. Mother Teresa says, remember that you're precious to God, that He loves you. Just show this love towards others. And she understood this herself, and she knew how important she was to God, and she never got sick and tired of saying that God loves her. And listen to this, I was shocked. She writes, I will never forget that day in Venezuela when I came to visit this family. They gave us a present, a sheep as a present, and I came to thank him, and I saw a crippled child over there, quite badly crippled. I asked mother, what is his name? And her answer was wonderful, and it amazed me. We call him teacher of love because he constantly teaches us to love. Everything that we do is for him, is our love towards God in action. People say, I have a cripple in the family. I have a Down syndrome baby. I have a problem with legs, eyes. Learn to love. She says, the name of this crippled baby is teacher of love. They say that they thank God for this crippled person in their family. Just by giving him love, they felt how God would change their lives. Some people do not understand that the problem in your life is only given for one reason, for you to get love, to give you heart, to give you blessing. Sometimes we're amazed, Lord, make my life blessed, and you don't even know everything that He gives you. You need, my son went into the world, my daughter is a drug addict. Can you love Maybe that is why allowing that for you to learn to love the way that he is, even if he's a drug addict, even if he's decaying, hated, learn to love that that has been thrown away into the dumpster. Learn to love and serve your people. Oh, how many of us want to be somebody big? Do you know that the platform of your ministry is right next to you? What you would do to Christ, it'd be right next to you. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is asking me to say this, but I know that somebody in this room needs it. You ask God questions, God, what next? And I tell you right away, I answer it back to you. The Holy Spirit will explain to you what to do. Our ministry. Mother Teresa writes, in an hour of death, we will be judged not by amount of things that we've accomplished, but by love, the love that we invested into those things, love that is born from self-sacrifice, but love that you felt and shown. We want to show love when it's comforting for us and it's good for us. What if you will simply go and simply love, not by requesting anything in return, any gain, just simply to love, simply sacrifice, simply give. She says, when I'm given money from the rich people, I don't accept that money. But when a poor woman comes to me and she has two buckets of rice and she gives me one, I know that God brought her and I take this gladly. She says, I don't care the amount. I care about the heart of a person that sacrifices. And she says, I will not accept sacrifice that is not of God. She turned millions of dollars away from her life and everything that she was given only by one reason, because the hearts of those that gave were not in the right place. And she said, that's not God. I was amazed how this woman lived. Not have anything. She had everything. By not having a car, not having a house, she had a slim mattress and three dresses. That's all she had. She ate the same cereal meal that everybody else ate, and she lived with all the people that she helped. When kings and queens would call her, she'd put on her robe and go before the king and say, and the king would take pictures, and you see it on news and pictures and archives. You see she'd take her top robe off and go back into the sickness and where all the sick people are. This is love. This is where our ministry, this is your anointing and your reward. The interesting thing is, not by having a single TV show, not having any programs, not having even money for television, because everything that she received, she gave it back. She became the most famous personality in history. You hear me? Anointed people of this world are not known as this woman is known. And when I read these things, I say, dear God, give me at least 10% till the end of my life to have this, what this woman had. She had three dresses and a pair of sandals. She ate cereal and walked. She slept in a thin mattress, lived in the same quarters as everyone that she ministered to. In the eyes of the world, that looks quite foolish, that it brings her such pleasure to clean those that are dying and they're just decaying, as if it's something so awesome in this world. And how many people thought this, that she's just spending her time just by burying her talents? Her prayers, her books can be read nonstop because they are quite deep. Every word she lived through and she went through it, her actions, her deeds, and her desires, they touch the heart and it gives faith. And you want to see, and you want to open your eyes and see those that need love, and they are so close. You want to share the smiles and you want to share the warmth from the very bottom of your heart. Just learn to hear people and learn to hear God. Learn to be truthful and be loyal to God. and learn how to save this world from the lack of love. Church, I am amazed. God simply teaches us how to love. I tell you one thing. That person that serves his people, you will see what God can do with your life. You will see. You simply help one person. Stretch out your hand. What are you lacking? You say you don't have enough. I only have 10. Well, give 5. You know what Jesus said? If you have 2 robes, take one off and give to a close one. Jesus, and we think, I'm going to get rich and I will minister, but not understand that that's not the main point. In need, this is where God sees you. And what you can give from your lack is the most precious in the eyes of God. I will read the last scripture and I will be done. You want to be a great person? You want to be a great anointed person? You want to be known around the world? Start ministering to your people. Look at this fragment from the life of Jesus. Disciples, you know, they were very people with a temper, and they could not understand who's bigger, you know, or higher as far as they were concerned. It was a wise conversation. Mark 9:33. 9:33. But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was greatest. And sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And taking a child, he stood him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this is in my name is receiving me, and whoever receives me is not receiving me, but him who sent me. You hear me? You want to be a big person? Do what this woman has done. Minister, give love. You see a need, learn to discern, and you will see what God will do in your life and how God can take you so far. Because this woman became the last personality on this earth, and in the same way, she became one of the most famous ones. Right now, there's thousands of churches that carry her name. There's thousands of women and sisters that still open up houses of love, and we're amazed at what God can do with one person that learned to minister to his people and in the process be accepted by his people. Let's get up.